Episode 82, Building a Strong Team with Mike Ungaro, CEO of San Pedro Fish Market. Welcome back to The Story in Your Head. I'm Deb Dendy, and today we're continuing our conversation with Mike Ungaro. If you haven't listened to part one already, I invite you to go back and listen to episode 81, where Mike shared how he transformed the culture of his family-owned business and led to success. In this episode, Ron, Mike, and I are continuing that conversation. We discuss ideal practices for making organizational changes and employee management techniques that foster a more conducive working environment. Enjoy!
One of the stories that's helped me through my career is I want to help people find a place where they fit in. Mm. And if they don't fit in here and they don't have the courage to quit on their own, I may be the one that has to be courageous.
Mm. Fire.
To fire them. Not like mean, yeah. But like in a way, loving.
You're setting them free.
I'm setting them free to go find places. And
yeah.
I've had people who have called up 6 months, a year later, going to the HR person, goes, I'm really glad you let me go. Mm. I would have never had the courage to go do it myself, but I am so much happier now.
That's great.
So finding the right place for your philosophy to fit in as your philosophy changes, not like it's fixed and like permanent, but as it changes, you fit in, you can add to it and you can grow with the group. And when you get the right group, it's beautiful.
Yeah. I would say what I'm noticing right now in both of our main locations that we now have open, our two primary ones. Like I can't speak too much to the third. I think because I haven't looked at it, but I'm getting reports and I'm seeing it myself that these are two different teams. The cultures are different because you have one where people have been with us 10, 20, 30 years and one where it's new. You know, a lot of them are college kids. They're temporarily and they're working hard, but in both cases, they love what they're doing. Customer responses are fantastic. Like Yelp ratings are going up, which is like impossible. and in my opinion, it's very difficult to change because people will read the bad ones and they're like, oh yeah, I saw that bad stuff too. You know, it's hard to get like a happy one that wants to go to Yelp and leave a review. But the Yelp reviews and Google reviews, they're all positive. And what I'm reading and noticing and seeing is you have such a great crew. They're so good. They're so attentive. They're so happy. They're so helpful. And in some cases where people were accustomed to coming and waiting a long time to get in the building and on our legacy locations, only to wait even longer to get their food, that's been eliminated. They're waiting a long time to get in. They're dealing with parking issues, but they're getting their food like on an average of 15 minutes instead of 2 more hours. So, and that's not me. That's the team that put that together, executed on it, and is constantly tweaking and refining it. I mean, I think we had 10, I'm kind of estimating, I might be a little bit off, but somewhere between 9 and 10,000 customers the week of Father's Day into our new temporary location, which is a freaking parking lot with rented kitchens and bathrooms and generators and office space, you know, and bars that my brothers made out of old containers. So it's like, wow, with benches and asphalt. So
that's great, Mike. I heard you say that wasn't me. Is that different than how it used to be?
Well, if I'm looking at myself and my brothers as an example, I believe that we had the right team. We had a lot of people with a lot of operational background, and I knew what I needed to do, which was I need to focus on my relationships with the politicians and the finance people and like more high level stuff that I do as a CEO, like really kind of mapping out what the strategy looks like and what are we going to do in these different places, anticipating how the landscape could change and the economy and politics that could influence what we were trying to do. Like I had a bigger role, whereas I don't think they knew what to do except to go in there and drill umbrellas into the ground and move tables around and figure out how to hook up, you know, propane and kitchen. And they're great at that stuff. I mean, they're very mechanically hands-on operations labor guys. But I also noticed that like one of my brothers couldn't walk for 2 days after that. You know, it's like you could do it, but if there's a sacrifice to it. But that's where his meaning was. Like he needed to do that to feel like he was contributing because it's like his lifeblood is operating the business. But I'm thinking more on the brand level, like this might not work. What else are we going to do? just in case it fails, because it's never been tried before. And then I go over there and I watch it. It's like, sometimes I look at this going, and this thing almost looks like it's being held together by duct tape. So I'm going to keep working on like backup plans just in case.
Have you always had that kind of autonomy?
No, I had to build that. I mean, in the past, I would have been in there cooking fish and deep frying and barbecuing, you know, like a lot of my background was doing that up until the pandemic. Well, pandemic and back surgery, I'm like, I'm not risking my health anymore to do this. And what's interesting is, as you bring in good help, like we've brought in somebody with a lot of regional operation background working in restaurant chains. And he was working with our general manager at Legacy and our other newer Long Beach location. And what I noticed is the general managers, which have gone through the workshop and worked with y'all, both of them basically said, listen, we need ownership out of here. You got to get out of here. I need these guys to learn how to do this on their own. And when you're here, they're not sure if they should be doing what they're doing or wait to check in with you. So I'm like, hey, it's fine. I'm just came in to say Happy Father's Day. See you later. I wasn't critiquing anything. And I've noticed at least one of my brothers, maybe both of them, have gotten really good at just reporting to the highest person up. These are all the things I noticed that I want you to take care of, rather than going in there and meddling with it.
Ah, okay.
So I'm seeing that's a big shift. It's a really big shift. I got a report one day. I want to say it was Mother's Day week. It might have been Memorial Day weekend, where one of the owners just jumped into the bar and just started doing his thing. And the manager of the bar got frustrated and walked out. And he had to be told, you can't go in there. They have a system. It's working. Customers like it. They're getting served fast. Everything went to shit. What did you do? I didn't have that conversation, but we have the people that we have that are having that conversation now are able to do it without taking away the listener's dignity.
Mm.
Like, everything's appreciated. We're proud of what you built. This is awesome. It's just, in order for it to keep running, we got to let them do it their way. Another thing that happened is the day we opened, which was like Cinco de Mayo weekend, the week before Mother's Day, I was there, and I'll just have everybody be here and just kind of see and talk to people and touch tables. And there was a lot of empty tables and a big line of people. And our COO was like, we're going to let everybody in. Whoa, you sure about that? Because I got to break this thing so I can fix it. I don't know what it can handle until we break it, and we're going to keep breaking it until we make it work. And so I left. I went to my office. I got some work done. I came back. It was only 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was completely shut down. I go, what happened? Oh, we broke it. We broke it good. We had to shut it down. Now the time for food was 4 hours long, and people were getting angry, and we sent them all to the other locations so we can regroup. And then we did a big SWOT analysis, which was, I know what that is, but I know no one else had seen it before. And we covered the whiteboard. And he had categories, you know, personnel, operation, you know, inventory. He went the whole thing. And then swatted the whole thing out. And everybody jumped in and got it done. And we've done that a couple times since. And it's continually improved the process.
What a shift in culture, Mike, to go from, we're going to make sure we never break anything, to, no, let's just figure out where it's going to break.
Yeah.
And then fix it.
Even better, Ron, it's more like, just shut up and work really hard and it'll all fix itself. And it was like, well, this system is different. I mean, we're not handheld paper tickets and like talk, you know, it's not like, this is your kitchen and we're going to give you some paperwork and you're just going to follow it and just get the food out. Even if it's the wrong order, just keep putting food out. We'll figure it out later. Customer's got something. Who cares if it's what they paid for or not? No, that's not what we do. So now customers are sitting down with their phone and scanning a QR code, and the food is being run to them. And while they're waiting for the food, they're ordering drink after drink. And it's, you know, I tested it myself with our friend Albert. It came out a couple of weeks ago, and Albert's like, I'm going to do this whole thing myself. And he ordered it, and I go, we got all our food and beers in 15 minutes. I go, yeah, it's pretty impressive. And they don't even know who I am. They called me Henry, and they called me John.
That's great. Mike, you're the third generation. Is that correct?
Correct.
And the fourth generation is in there. Yes.
There is some fourth generation.
There's some fourth generation. So like, what is your plan, or what is the culture for your next generation? Cause I know you're going to work there forever, right?
This is the primary reason that I've brought on all the help that I've brought on, because my experience is most businesses don't make it to the fourth generation. And there's a big swath of the fourth generation that doesn't work there. There are some cases where they're like, well, I'm not going to work there, but I'm going to be an owner. So where's my money? That's a problem. It has to be worked out. It's like an entitlement. There's some that are, they're showing up to work, you know, they're working really, really hard, and they're making the same money everybody else makes. There's no special treatment. And they're appreciative of it, and they like it, and it helps. I think it helps overall with the entire enterprise, because people always assume, oh, you're an owner, I can't tell you what to do, I've got to be careful around you. We're really careful. No, you tell them whatever you want. Just don't, not my kid today. That helps. And then there's some, like my daughters. I have one who lives in New York. One's there right now, and I don't think she's coming back based on the call I got yesterday. And another one is probably going to end up there. I don't think they'll have an interest in it. So my intention and what I've been designing is, how does the business move forward if the fourth generation isn't involved? Or are we able to build it as a brand where there are different offers that they could lead it to? Like, one of my daughters kind of acts as an executive assistant for me on her free time, managing email and calendar. So she's got a little bit of understanding of what the business is, but she's not in there flaying fish, you know? No, I don't know. I mean, we're bringing in outsiders that are professionals. And the way that I see it is, ownership at some point needs to just be more of a board of directors and not be operating, and hire professional operators to handle that under, like, whatever our vision and stand is as the owners. And I think if we can't put that together, it's going to be a real challenge to move into the fourth generation. Because then I don't know what we're going to be leaving them except chaos. I had this idea recently in the last couple of weeks that I'm going to stay out of the restaurant side and focus on our sales outside the four walls, you know, like kind of creating two different entities under the same umbrella is how I saw it. Cause I'm like, I don't see a need for me to be in the restaurant operations. You guys have it all handled. You have more operators than you need. And I started our e-commerce. I've started our grocery product. I started this web series. I've had all these other things I've started that have just sort of been spinning because they don't have the authorization or the right leadership to push them forward and move them forward. So I'm going to go back over there. I started them. I want them to be successful, and it'll be a great backup. And our COO kind of was talking to me about it. He goes, the problem with that, Mike, if you separate yourself into a different part of the company, instead of being the visionary over the entire enterprise, these two entities are going to go in different directions, and they might actually go in multiple directions. So I saw it and I'm like, damn it, you're right. I can't do it the way I thought I was going to do it. So I'm sort of redesigning how to help with one division without leaving the other one stranded. You know, it's because, like, we have seasoned spices and different things that they shouldn't just be something you buy online or in a store. It really should permeate the entire culture of the enterprise. Like, I'm leaving, this tasted great. Oh, I can buy it here, and then I can click on this link and learn how to make it, and then I can order it on this website and have it shipped to my house, and then I can post a video of me and what I did, and you'll put it on yours. Like, all of that synergy is not quite there right now, and it needs to be. And that's really, for me personally, that's more my passion, is because that's where I could really innovate and do great things. I just have to figure out how to be there without leaving the other side of the company. And I think that's where the fourth generation either has something to be left to them or not. Otherwise, it's going to splinter and fall apart. That's how I see it.
Yeah, how I was listening to that is the synergy of stories. Like, you as the main storyteller, the historian for the company, and how do you do that? How do you keep people on the same page and aligned with your stories?
How am I doing it now?
Yeah.
I know what to do and how to do it. The challenge I have is technology, because I try to at least once a week, if not every other week, do a short talk. I put it on our YouTube page. I put it on our Facebook page, but I think 10%, if that, of our employee base actually accesses those. So we're looking at like hot schedules, which hopefully we're going to have soon, because that actually is a tool that where everybody would use an app on their phone to monitor their schedules. And if they can't make it, they're responsible for finding someone to replace them. It puts all the accountability on them, but it also creates a space where I can send those messages directly to everyone's phone.
Yeah.
So that's what we're working on right now. Then it'd be easier. Then I can speak those things. I can talk about what we're doing. You know, it's great. The other part of the question that's been I don't want to say frustrating, but a disappointment to me is we have this web series that's won all these awards, and we're supposed to be on Amazon Prime in the fall with the new season. But I'm noticing like this does this thing in the show, and then there's the restaurants. And there's very little link that we can say that people saw it and came into the restaurant or comes to the restaurant and watches the show. It's mostly like, here's 98% here, 98%, and there's this 2% intermingling. And I'm trying to work on a way that they become one, because it would be a much more powerful way to communicate to everyone who we are and what we do. So not complete.
Great. Thank you, Mike.
Are you looking to strengthen your relationships, whether personally or professionally? You want to learn how to build authentic connections faster, or perhaps you're looking to beat employee burnout through the power of connection. My name is Ron Macklin, founder of Macklin Connection. And in our workshops, we teach you the fundamentals of how to do exactly that and more. To learn more of the power of your relationships, visit us at MacklinConnection.com. So, Mike, I know recently you were out looking for new locations. Mm-hmm. First question, two parts to this question. First one part is, like, how many locations do you want to be at or in that space in 5 to 10 years? And then, like, what is your intention for how to have that culture created specifically for each one of those locations?
Yeah. You know, we opened the newest location. It was such a clusterstuck nightmare. Because I almost swore to myself, I'll never do this again. Oh, wait, I said this last time I tried to open a restaurant. I thought we were past this. And what it was just, we weren't aligned on what mattered. You know, like, we weren't clear what the culture was. Everybody had a different opinion about who our customer was, what they wanted, what we should be offering them. And they were all in there dumping that into the staff who didn't know what to do with it. Like, who do I listen to? That's not the case anymore. And now with the COO that we've hired a year ago that has a lot of experience in running multiple locations, as we were looking at locations, Ron actually brought him with us. And he pointed out, I ran these three locations here. I also ran three that are 100 miles that way and another 300 miles from there. I'm like, oh, or, you know, 50 miles. But this a decent amount of space, basically like within a 2 to 3 hour radius on the California coast. And I left it to him. I go, listen, I can come up with all these ideas and all these things, and we can find the money and we can get the locations and maybe we can even get them open. But who's operating them? Like, what's our capacity to operate? You're the operations person, so you have to nail that down for me. And his response was, we can do 4 locations in 4 years with the team we currently have. And I wouldn't push more than that. And I would want them all to be between San Diego and, like, you know, Santa Monica to Ventura. So that's what we identified, and we found 4 that we like, and we're in conversations now, like we're reaching out to them to see, and then there'd be a timeline to do that. And I would be content in 4 years, 4 to 5 years, if we had, you know, we'd be at 6 locations at that point. There's also one in Monterey that we have to make a decision on, because they're like ready to just hand it over to us. Like, what do you need? Money, taxes, like, what can we help you with? So, okay, well, that's a little farther than we thought. But I could see, you know, 6 locations in 5 years. And then at that point, you know, I'm going to be close to 60. I'm not sure what I would want to be involved. Like, I don't know what my limitations are going to be at 60. So I'm being very cautious there to say, is that where you bring in a way to license or franchise locations so that we're not owning and operating all of them? Is the brand strong enough at that point where people, because what we don't want to do is bring in capital investment when we're weak, and they actually force us out. That's a concern. We want to be in a position of strength so we can make that growth play for outside financing. And then, and parallel to that, I'm going to work on building the outside sales, right? The e-commerce push. We brought a really competent company I'm really excited about. It's like, we have all these sauces, spices, micheladas, and all these different things that we haven't been able to really leverage to our brand. And then we have a whole web series that's being seen by all these people, where these products should be there and be an opportunity for people to experience them. And then there's ghost kitchens. You know, there's a whole move there where we can, you know, we can, and this is kind of like up and down in the industry right now, where ghost kitchens, virtual kitchens, and cloud kitchens, where you could go onto your phone and order a shrimp tray. Well, there's really not a reason you can't do that in most states, because the product is pretty simple to make. And as long as we have distribution through like a Sysco, as an example, they can provide everything to these ghost kitchens in different states. So you might wake up at your house, Kansas, I want a shrimp tray today. Oh, look, it's on my phone. Boom, it's at your house, cooked, ready to eat within 15 or 20 minutes. I think those are all untapped for us. So
looking forward to that. Let me know when the ghost kitchen gets closer, right? So, Mike, thanks for your time today. If you could share something with your family, like your brothers and sister and all that stuff, what would you like to share with them about like what you've gone through and where you're going? Anything you'd like to share with them?
I mean, I think the first thing I'd say is just how damn proud I am of all of them. Like what we've been through, what we survived in the last 3 years, going on 3.5 with the pandemic and the closures, against all odds. You know, we watched so many businesses disappear, and they rallied and got things done and acted as leaders and really, really created some miracles as far as I'm concerned. So my thing would be thank you, and I'm proud of y'all. And also, I think we're going to do some really amazing things in the future together.
That's great.
Just get warmed up.
That's great. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. Well, can we go to a little bit lighter part of our show?
Yes, let's Rod? Do that.
So we like to kind of poke and prod on our guests and what their favorite things are. And today we want to talk about books. So is there a book that you've read multiple times, something that really impacted your life? And tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, there's one I was thinking about the other day that I came across at a point where I had to shut down everything we're doing, and I came really close to bankruptcy and had to drop out of education courses I was doing and really just trying to figure out survival. And that was the 4-hour work week. And I found it really valuable. It's interesting too, I find a lot of people don't agree with that, but I found it as a way to think about how to utilize technology in ways I wasn't thinking about before. That's one. And then I would add to that, which I think they sort of sit on top of one another, in my opinion, is Who Not How, which I need to revisit again. And I referred it to friends who I thought wouldn't find any value in it, and it changed their lives. I liked it, but man, I got to go back and read it again. And the reason is, in both of those cases, it was really about what those books really worked with, is stop trying to do everything yourself. You know, there are different messages on there, but it was really about how can you delegate these things out to other people? And because of, you know, we're not anywhere, like I couldn't drive over and see either of you today, but we just created this whole interview and this podcast, and there's a whole bunch of things that you could do with it, right? And when I'm thinking about that, there was a time where the only way I could have a meeting was to be in the same room with people. And there's a part of me that's like, okay, well, where do you want to meet today? I'm like, oh, we don't have to freaking do that anymore. We can just get on Zoom or video or whatever. So I think there's just a whole bunch of ways that you can produce outcomes for yourself that improve your life with much less effort than I'm thinking about, you know, because I grew up with that hard work, labor. Sometimes I'll just sit on the couch and think, this is wrong. It's the middle of the day. I shouldn't be sitting here. But I needed some time to think, and I'm going to do it. So
it's great.
Those two books are pretty influential for me.
Yeah, thank you. Ron, how about you?
I'd share Michael Ebersh, and it's a quick story of he spent 2 years on the USS Benfold, which was the worst ship in the Navy. And he turned it from the worst ship in the Navy to winning all the awards and for that ship in less than 2 years. And the reason he called it the It's Your Ship was because when somebody would come to him with a problem, he would say to him, it's your ship, right? What are you going to do? And they did everything from quit painting everything to buying stainless steel hardware to all kinds of stuff inside there. So it's a pretty easy, a light read. First time I read it, it was shortly thereafter. I have actually bumped into the author, Michael, at a conference.
Wow.
And I had a conversation with him. And what was beautiful about that was he was so real. I looked at him and he was scared because he was getting ready to go and present. Yeah. And he was scared. He was real. And I was going like, this guy that looked like almost invincible on the ship in the book, right? In Fast Company, got an article in Fast Company about him. And he was just like us, right? Wow. And I could connect with the guy, and well, it's a great read, a lot of fun, but there's a lot of stuff in there around being responsible and trusting and believing in others. Oh, it's a great book. That's mine. How about you, Deb? What's yours?
You know, my latest favorite book is called Deliberate Calm. and about leading through the storms, right? Like I'm still thinking about all of the things that you faced with your business, Mike, and it's about being calm in those storms, but how to create the practices to produce the calm. And so that's one thing that's been very helpful for me lately.
I have people come to me, why are you so quiet in our meetings? I know you know what we should be doing. I know you could just speak up and say something. Why don't you do more? And I'm like, I'm listening. and it's not characteristic of me. I've had to learn that skill, but I'm staying calm and I'm listening. And then I try to toss lines and not tell. And it's a skill set and it's challenging and I'm not good at it yet. I mean, I could be a lot better, I'll put it that one. But it is like that. It really calm requires, like I've watched Ron's calm for years. I'm like, are you okay? I got to do that.
Thank you, Mike. Mike, thank you for your time today. Thank you for joining us on The Story in Your Head. And yes, thanks for being you.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you being there.
Thank y'all.
Yeah. Is there anything you would like to mention at the end of our show? Anything you'd like to tell about your new locations? Yeah. Where can people find you?
Yeah. I guess the best thing is just to go to sanpedrofish.com. It's all there. And then stay tuned because if things go the way they're supposed to go, Kings of Fish, which is at kingsoffishtv.com, will be on Amazon Prime. It's all 99% produced. We just have to clean up the loose ends and hope we can get it all paid for. But it should be a lot of fun. You know, what's going to be cool about it is we had all these storylines that were already done before we had to leave the buildings. We had actually the delay with Amazon and some of our sponsors gave us the opportunity to go back and shoot the basically us leaving. So there's going to be an entire underlying story about it. We get served the eviction notice and is this real? And then we got to deal with it. And how do we get everything out? And how are we going to build this new location? So there's actually a lot of really real drama that wouldn't have been there otherwise. I mean, there've been plenty of drama, but this is like more life-threatening drama. So it should be fun to watch.
Awesome.
I'm not sure I'm going to have fun watching it.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you all.
Thanks for listening to the podcast today. At Macklin Connection, we believe making authentic connections with others can literally change your world. We invite you to share this podcast with one person that you care about. Maybe it's someone you haven't spoken with in a really long time and you'd love to reconnect. Or maybe it's the first person that popped into your head when you listened to this podcast because you thought it would be perfect for them. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.